Corinthians chapter 9, verses 8 through 15. Could you turn there? 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 8 through 15. And if you're able to stand, would you please do so? Let's look at this text together, and I'm going to try to carve out another little section today that we can think about and see what insight God will give us. 2 Corinthians 9, verses 8 through 15. God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. Verse 9. As it is written, he has distributed freely, he has given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. Verse 10. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way to be generous in every way, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God. For the ministry of this service is not only supplying the needs of the saints, but is also overflowing in many thanksgivings to God. By their approval of this service, they will glorify God because of your submission flowing from your confession of the gospel of Christ and the generosity of your contribution for them and for all others. While they long for you and pray for you because of the surpassing grace of God upon you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Amen. Father, we humbly bow before you now and ask your help as we consider these great truths that you have left for us in your word. Enlighten the eyes of our hearts that we might see and understand. Grant us grace to apply to our lives and the grace to order our lives according to your will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, God bless you all. Let's then try to connect a few dots from last week, all right? If you might remember, last week we looked at one verse, right? Verse 8. And we saw that in verse 8, Paul is giving more reasons why a believer is to give generously and cheerfully, all right? More reasons why we as believers should give generously and cheerfully, right? In the first part of the verse, those first three words establish the whole thing. What? God is able. That's why we can give bountifully. That's why we can give cheerfully. God is able to do anything. He's able to meet all my needs, your needs, and everyone else's needs. He is what? Able. He's limitless in his capacity. Nothing is too hard for God, right? Now, the other thing we saw is that he's limitless in his resources. You see how the verse said it? To make all grace abound to you, right? So everything is available to God. He can provide for you in so many ways that you're limited to your resources coming through one avenue, one vehicle, through your job. God is not limited to that. God can provide for you with every resources on earth, all of them. He says, all the silver is mine. All the gold is mine, right? All the beasts in the field, the cattle of a thousand hills, it's all mine. God owns all the industry, all the minerals. God is the one that owns the diamonds and all of the things that are in the earth. So God then says, I can meet your need. All resources are available. Isn't that good? Yeah. And so we saw then that not only that, but God provides all sufficient resources. You see what he says? I provide all your needs in all circumstances at all times. What is God doing? He's destroying all of our excuses. All the excuses that we provide, that we give for why we can't give generously and why we can't give cheerfully. Because of my bills and my situation. God said, I got all of that covered. All your needs in all circumstances, what? All the time.
When you're employed and when you're unemployed. When you're in the workforce and when you're retired. Whatever the situation, God says, I've got it covered. It came from me when it was coming from your, quote, employer. That God provided that. It comes from him if it's coming through a disability insurance or Social Security. Or it's all from him. Food stamps. You see, he's not limited. He provides our needs. Isn't that good? Yeah. And he uses any means. God provides enough to support every godly ministry. And this is what he's getting at. God says, I'm going to take care of you, and I need you to support what you know is of me. And stop wringing your hands about what's going to happen next week if you give what God tells you to give today. Tomorrow, what? Has enough cares of its own. I provided for you today. Remember Jesus, the prayer, the peace of Jesus? Give us what? This day, our daily bread. Give it today. And I pray that every day, which means he will meet my needs every day. He's a good God, right? He's good. All right. So today, I want to look at verse 9, 10, 11, and 12. And again, our subject, again, is a cheerful giver. In verses 9 and 10, we're going to look at the fact that there's righteousness when we give generously. Righteousness is involved when we give generously. And then in verses 11 and 12, we're going to see that there's thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is involved. It's been interesting to see the Holy Spirit weave this theme of gratefulness in our time together today. Why we ought to be grateful. And this is really important. Gratefulness is a trait of the Spirit that'll keep your eyes open. It'll keep you from closing up your heart. When you're thankful for what you have, then you won't become stingy. You won't close yourself off, right? When you're grateful, you see, thankfulness keeps you open. Open to God. I'm thankful for where I am, you know. I'm not trying to hang on to it. I'm just thankful for what I do have. I remember what Brother Emmett said yesterday. Somebody, as we dealt with our meeting, I have what? Learned to be content. I've learned it, you know. Paul said, I've learned to live when I've got a lot. And everyone in here, even if you haven't lived very long, the Bible talks about this roller coaster lifestyle. There's times we're going to have a lot. There's times you're going to have very little. That's by God's design. So Paul said, because of those experiences, I've learned to be content. Just because I'm in the valley now doesn't mean that that's where I'm going to stay. Also, just because I'm on the mountain right now doesn't mean that's where I'm going to stay. Right? I'm content wherever I am in whatever circumstances I face. So let's look at these two big thoughts real quick. Righteousness in giving generously. First of all, I want you to notice that God cares for the poor. You got verse 9? Verse 9 says, as it is written, he has distributed freely, he has given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. Now let's think about this. Giving to the poor is a sign of a right relationship with God. Follow me on this. Giving to the poor is a sign that you have a right relationship with God. God cares for the poor, and God has put it in your heart to care for the poor because he cares for the poor, right? So it's a sign of a right relationship with him. That's righteousness. You remember how John said it in 1 John 3? If anyone has this world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how can the God's love abide in him? You see what he's saying? You can't be born again if you've got all that you need, plus you see now this is a brother in Christ. You see a brother or sister in Christ in need, and you know you can help, yet you close your heart to them. How can you say the love of God is in you? when God says, I'm using you to meet their needs. I met your needs. And I, Jesus, you remember what Jesus said? I'll wash your feet. He didn't say, turn around and wash my feet. What did he do? I'll wash your feet. You do what? You go wash others. God says, I take care of you. You what? You take care of others. Get it? That's what the love, that's a sign of a right relationship with God. Yes? Okay, let's stay with me on this. So now here's what I see in this, here's the other thing I see in this verse. What God does then, when we have a right relationship with God, God motivates us to be faithful in our giving. He motivates us to be consistent. You know, we're not up and down and just feeling on giving on a whim. You know, I feel like giving today. I don't feel like giving today. I give now because I've got good income. I don't give later on because I don't. You see, God motivates us to be faithful. Faithful in our giving. Now, our giving isn't contingent upon circumstances, right? He motivates us to give generously. But look at this. As an act of righteousness. What does that mean? Because I've got this right relationship with God, I'm going to do what he tells me to do. Why? I'm doing it by faith. I'm not walking by my checkbook. I'm not walking by my wallet. I live by faith and not what? By sight. It's by faith that I'm doing. Why? Because of this right relationship. I've seen God take care of me again and again and again. And so I trust him. Right? And so that's the issue here, is that when it says his righteousness endures forever, God is going to always be righteous. Amen. And when I've got a right relationship with him, he's faithful to draw me to himself and to keep me faithful. Okay? So our giving needs to be perceived as an act of righteousness. I'm doing this because I've got a right relationship with God. I'm not doing it because Willie asked me to do it or somebody else asked me to do it. I'm not doing it even because you asked me. I'm doing it because I got a right relationship with God and he says, do this. And if you are sensitive to the Spirit, he will show you what he wants you to do with your money. Because now listen to me, it's your money. You remember what Peter told Ananias and Sapphira? After you sold the property, the money was what? Yours. Now once you give it, it becomes it's the blessing to the recipient, right? And so God will tell you what to do with your money, but once you give it what? Generously and cheerfully, and then you got to trust him. We're gonna get this in a minute, okay? But my relationship with God allows me to do that, and not wring my hands about whether I should or should not have done it. If I know I'm in God's will, I can give generously, cheerfully, and go on and live. Okay? Because of a right relationship. You get it? And you need to make sure you got a right relationship. If you're worried, and your relationship is not right if you're worried all the time. I didn't say you don't have a relationship. I'm saying that if you're worried, your sin is affecting that fellowship that you have. Okay? God wants the fellowship to be good and right. He wants you to be able to hear clearly when he's telling you to do things. But if you say I'm a worrier, don't allow that. Don't allow sin to be that deceptive with you. There's no quote such thing as a worrier. That's like somebody saying I'm a murderer and I'm okay with that. You see, you wouldn't dare think of that being okay. But people can say I'm a worrier and think that that's all right. Worrying is just as much a sin as murder. Right? There's no big and little sin. And so you got to have that relationship so that when God tells you to do, you do it. You give as a what? Act of righteousness. Everybody good? Okay. So God cares for the poor and he wants us to care for the poor. The thing I see in verse 10 is that God will increase resources. Now, this is important, too. You got verse 10? He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You say, well, Brother Willie, what does all that mean? Let's look at it. Look at what it says. God provides financial resources to the giver to help the needy. Stay with it. He provides what the giver needs so that the giver can help the needy. You see, that's what's called supply. You got, look at verse 10. Verse 10 says, he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply. You got it? Supply your seed for sowing. So God gives the giver. You think of yourself as a farmer. You got this. God gave you the seed. The seed came from him. And he says, go plant the seed in the ground that I show you. You got it? So take the money and go put it in the ground that I tell you to. Right? Now this is really important. You getting it? So God supplies the financial resources to us, and he tells us to go plant it. Don't do what you want to do with it. Don't trust in the Lord what? With all your heart. Don't lean to your understanding. Think of all of the needs around us. I remember when I worked downtown, I'd be at the bus stop, and there's all kind of people coming by that had needs. But I could trust the Spirit of God to prompt me if I needed to meet someone's need. Okay? You can't solve poverty. He's not calling upon the Christian to solve poverty. But he is saying, when I tell you to meet someone's need, what? Do it. Go plant there because I've got something I'm going to do with it. You got it? Is this good? He wants us to be free. Now get this. So God supplies financial resources to the giver. And that's what we see is it, when he says he supplies. But then I want you to notice this other big thing. This is really important. God promises to supernaturally increase the effectiveness of resources given to those in need. Now, I know that's a long statement, but let's follow it with me. God promises to supernaturally increase the effectiveness. I took the seed and I went and planted it in the ground. I can't make it grow. Right? Plant, water, I do those. I can do a whole lot of stuff to seed in the ground, but I can't make it what? I can't make it grow. God gives what? Increase. So God says, you take your resources, your money, and if you will plant it, invest it where I tell you to, I'm going to make it come up, and I'm going to make it increase. I'm going to make it way more effective than the investment that you made. Okay? You remember the story in Matthew 14, I believe it is? You remember Matthew 14? Jesus had these thousands of people that had started following him because they'd seen the miracles, and he had gone out, they said, into a desolate place. Had 5,000 men, and in addition, had women and children. You remember that? And they'd come away from the city so far that they were tired and hungry. And the disciples said, you need to send them home. Send them away because we can't help them. Jesus said, you feed them. They said, well, we don't. All we got is 5 loaves of bread and 2 little fishes for all these thousands of people. You know what Jesus said? Tell them to sit down. What? You didn't hear me. We got 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Jesus. Jesus must be hard. You know, can you imagine? Sit down. They need to go home. You gotta sense this now. Sit down. And there, think of all these thousands of people now sitting down. They're getting ready to eat 5 loaves of bread. Now you can't think of Wonder Bread. This is not like going to Snooks or somewhere and getting a loaf of bread. These are like pancakes. I mean, these are, you know, 5 little cakes and 2 fish. And these are and the kind of fish that this little boy would have had is like sardines. Thousands of people getting ready to eat on 5 little pancakes and 2 sardines. But Jesus said, give them to me. He took it. Thank God for it. And what? Broke it and started handing it out. What happened? Everybody was fed and they had what? Leftovers. He took it and he increased it. Right? He'll supply, he'll multiply and increase. Is that what the verse says? He'll take what you give to meet needs and he'll multiply it. It'll be way more effective than you trying to do it on your own. That little $50 that you gave, then I'm not being crass, but I mean, that he's going to take that $50 and do so much more with it than you could have.
Amen.
You getting it? Because this is out of a right relationship with him. When I do what he says, I'll handle the rest. Now, you know that he doesn't need us. God got money out of, he told the disciple, go get money out of, he got money out of a fish's mouth. But he says, no, I want to use you. I want you to learn to trust me. So you see, we get blessed as much as the recipient. You see this? I know I'm spending a little time there, but I want you to see how wonderful this is. God then, as we look at righteousness and giving generously, I want you to see those two major points, that God cares for the poor, and he will increase the resources that we, invest is not the best word, but the resources that we give. He'll make it more effective, okay? So his point is, don't get overly concerned because you don't have a lot of money. Just give what I tell you to give and let me handle the effectiveness of it. We good? All right. So God's righteousness is revealed as believers care for those in need. The last thing we want to look at then is thanksgiving. So that's righteousness. There's righteousness to be involved. There's this right relationship in giving. But then there's to be thanksgiving. And you'll notice in verse 11, generosity produces thanksgiving. You got verse 11? Look at 2 Corinthians 9:11. You will be enriched in every way, to be generous in every way, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God. You got this?
Yeah.
Now let's look at the first principle. When believers have generous hearts, God is generous to us. When our hearts are open to give, God knows I can entrust you with more, right? To the one who is faithful over little, they'll be faithful. The one that's unfaithful over little will be unfaithful over much. But the one that is faithful over little, God knows that I can entrust what? More. Okay? So when you and I are generous, then God is free to invest more in us, to entrust more with us. Okay? Now this is, now don't misunderstand me. I'm not talking about some, we got this world's mindset that I'm a self-made man. I'm a self-made woman. Yeah, there's people out there that are that way. You know, they got their education. They made it well. But you remember what Jesus saw a man that did that, and he called him a what? A fool. I'm not talking about that. Because he had all his wealth in our vernacular. He had his 401k. It was building. He was investing it well. And he had more than he could think. So he had to go and invest in other things. But God says, you fool, you're going to die tonight. And where is all that investment going? Okay? I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about God knows that you're generous, and he knows he can entrust you with more because you're going to do more with it, not just warehouse it for you to sit around and think about all, you know, the car you're going to get in the house. There's nothing wrong with nice houses and cars, but you shouldn't be warehousing money solely for that purpose. Okay? And so when believers have generous hearts, God is generous to them, look at this, spiritually and physically. When you've got a generous heart, God gives you great insight in the scriptures.
Amen. Amen.
Yes, he does. Have you had that time you're reading and you say, I never saw that before?
Yeah.
That's from God. How did you get it?
Yeah.
Insight comes from God.
Yeah.
So when your heart, remember how Jesus said it?
Right.
When the eye is full of light, the whole body is full of light. That's a Hebrew idiom that means when you're generous. When your eye is full of light, light can get into the whole person. Isn't that good? So when you read that Bible, your heart is open to do God's will. God says, let me show you something. Let me show you more. Isn't that good? So it's not just physical. He entrusts more wisdom with you. Most insight, because you're going to do something with it. See, he's going to give you insight and you're going to go help somebody. The same way you do with your money. He give you more money and you're going to what? Go help somebody. See how that works? The word there, plutizo, it means to be enriched. He's gonna give you. He's going to enrich your life. This is the kind of riches we want. Riches that come from God. Yeah? Riches that come from God. We good so far? That word plutizo means to be abounding in something. God's generosity to believers is for believers to be generous toward other people. This is really important. This is one of the main purposes of money. Now you listen to me. I think it's Ephesians 4:28 maybe. In Ephesians 4 there, you remember Paul is giving these statements about how when we're sinning, God wants us to stop sinning, but he also wants us to do right. So let him who steals, what? Steal no more. Steal no more, but also let him work. Let him labor, let him work so that he'll have something to share with those in need. A part of the reason God lets you have a job is for you to share with those in need. Part of the reason that God lets income come into your house, as a Christian now, is for you to share with those in need. This is important. Because as he sees that you can be trusted with more, then he will entrust more to you. Isn't this good?
Yeah.
Plutizo. That's our word. That's a wonderful word for a Christian. The other thing that we notice here is that generosity from believers produces thanksgiving to God from the recipients. And that you can practically remember we talked to the children about those who are ungrateful. But God wants us to see here, when you spend your money the way I tell you to, I'm working something out for my glory and for your good. You remember Jesus once told, and I don't mean to get off the subject here, but Jesus once told the story of how we are to use our money. He said that some people use their money to get rewards in this life, and you get it. But he said, I want you to use money and store up treasure, what? In heaven. Where moth and rust don't destroy, what? Thieves don't break in and steal, right? Where the Wall Street mongrels can't rob you of your investments. So God says, when I give you money, invest it in heavenly things and it'll be good, right? And so generosity then produces thanksgiving in the recipient. You see, you got verse 11 again? You will be enriched in every way to be generous in every way. Look at this. Which through us will produce thanksgiving to God. God wants people to thank him by the way you help them. Let your light shine before men in such a way that what? They'll see your good works and what? Glorify your Father who is in heaven. That's what he wants them to see with our money. He doesn't want us just to be praised because we are wise investors in things on earth. He wants them to praise him because of the way we were we care for people. And then lastly, this is so wonderful. Lastly, as you see, thanksgiving and giving generously, the last thing I want you to notice in verse 12 is that generosity involves worship. Now, I don't know if you've ever seen this before. And so if you just stay with me a couple more minutes, I want you to see something really important. You got verse 12? Look at it. For the ministry of this service is not only supplying the needs of the saints, but is also overflowing in many thanksgiving to God. Generosity involves worship. Here's what I mean. You see that little phrase, for the ministry of this service? You see that at the beginning of verse 12? The ministry of this service, that word service, that's a really important word. And I only mention Greek terms because they are because I want you to see the value of them. Phonetically, you see that word? L-E-I-T-O-U-R-G-I-A. Liturgio. Liturgio is a a term that literally means a service of worship. See? So in our English Bible, all that you see is the ministry of this service. But it means a ministry of a service of worship. So your giving, you giving the way God wants you to give is actually an act of what? Worship. It's what God wants us to see. This is the way you worship me. And it's not just by singing and praying. You remember how John said it? Let us not worship God in talk only. But in what? Deeds and truth. Yeah. In deeds and truth. So this is a, when we tell you all that, when we give here on Sunday mornings, when we tell you that this is the way you can worship God tangibly, that's biblical. When you take your offering and you pass it to the tray or however you give it, that is an act of worship. You know, at one time we used to have an offering box in the back and so that you could just drop it in when you walk in. But when God convicted me that giving was a part of worship, I wanted it to be a part of our actual worship service. So that I, as I give, this is an act of worship for me. And nobody, you don't need anybody to know what you give. That's between you and God. But this is an act of worship between me and God. You get it? That's the point here. And so it's the same thing in Romans 12. Remember Romans 12, Paul says, I appeal to you, brothers, by the what? Mercies of God. Present your bodies as what? Amen. Living sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your now reasonable service in the King James. It's this same root word, all right? And that's the reason in the ESV and other translations it says, this is your spiritual service of worship. When you present your body as a living sacrifice to God, you do that as a service of worship. Here I am. What do you want me to do, Lord? You want me to usher? You want me to sing? What do you want me to do? You want me to clean the floors? You want me to move chairs? What do you want me to do? This is an act of worship for me. You see, you got to stop thinking that the preacher is the one that worships. Everything you do for the Lord, when you present your body as being available to Him, that's an act of worship. Much of the worship goes on behind the scenes. You see? If you only think of worship as being that which is public, you're missing. When you present your body as an instrument to God, wherever He uses you, it's an act of worship. Isn't that good? You're visiting people that are ill or whatever it is. Calling someone else up to give them encouragement. That's an act of worship. Right? In this particular case, money. Our money is to be, isn't that good? An act of worship. Giving money as an act of worship results in meeting people's physical needs and a spiritual thanksgiving. So you see this dual purpose here? When you give as an act of worship, God meets someone's needs. And responding back to God then is thanksgiving. That's worship to Him. And that's the way it's supposed to be. The giver is to thank God for the privilege of being used. The recipient thanks God for blessing. Right? My physical need was met, and I want to thank the one that met it. That's worship. Okay? And so this is really the essence of what we've got in these verses. Generosity is an act of worship that provides physical needs and produces thanksgiving. So then, my brothers, my sisters, I hope you will agree with me that we have clearly seen that God cares for the poor. Yes? God cares for the poor. Out of His righteous character and His great compassion, He provides for those in need. God uses believers to help people in need financially. He uses believers who love God, believers who love people. God uses believers who are surrendered to Christ. He uses believers who are led by the Holy Spirit. Believers who are humble. Believers who are generous. Believers who are filled with joy. Who give generously and cheerfully. He uses them for His glory. When you have a right relationship with the Lord, giving generously is an act of righteousness. But when you have a right relationship with the Lord, giving generously is also an act of worship. It's an act of worship to you because you have this right relationship with God. He promises to supply all our needs, right? And supernaturally increase what we give. And your generosity will produce thanksgiving to God. Why is that important? Because God is worthy. Worthy of all honor and blessing and power and dominion, riches and authority and glory forever and ever. He's worthy. So we want God to get more worship. We want Him to get people to thank Him. We want them to see how good He is. And I want you to see that He's blessing you through me. It's through me. You don't need to thank me. Thank Him. The blessing came through me. I'm just an instrument. I'm just a means. But it all comes from God, because every good gift, every perfect gift comes what? From above. From the Father of lights, in whom there's no variation or shifting shadow. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He met my need. He meets your need because He's good. And He's worthy. Worthy to be praised. Worthy to be praised. Every day He's worthy to be praised. Every praise belongs to God. All of it He belongs. He's worthy of all of it. The source of everything good. The birds open their mouth. The Bible said He feeds them. Feeds every. He takes care of all of His creation. You and I need to stop thinking that an employee is taking care of us. They can care less about you. I'm serious. If you see it nowadays. They care about you as long as it's meeting their bottom line. God takes care of us. Amen. There are times that they wanted to let us go and God wouldn't let them let it. He wouldn't do it. Yeah. There are times that they cut our pay and God make it straight. He stretched it out. Yeah. Didn't give us a cost of living, a raise, but God take that little bit and what? Make it effective. Why? So that we'll thank Him. Thank Him. Yes?
Yes, sir.
He's worthy. He's worthy. Giving generously is worship and should lead others into worship. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. And if you're not a Christian, I want you to know that God wants you to simply give Him your trust. If you're not a Christian, it's not your money. This is not your priority. God wants you to give Him your trust. He's interested in your soul. He wants you to give your soul to Him. And once you see that you need Christ, ask Him to forgive your sins. That sin is the only thing that's keeping you back from this. Do you remember the right relationship with God? The only thing keeping you back from a right relationship with God is your sin. And Jesus came to die for your sin. And if you'll just believe that He did that and trust Him, that if I put my trust in Him, then God is not going to hold my sins against me. The one who the Son sets free is free indeed. He'll set you free from the penalty and the power of sin. And then you'll be able to do all these wonderful things that we're talking about with joy. You'll be able to do it with grace because you'll have a right relationship with the living God. Lord, I just ask You to meet us here and meet us now where my feeble words have failed to communicate the truth. Lord, would You do it mightily and wonderfully by Your Spirit? Would You take these feeble words of mine and make them useful instruments in Your hands? Lord, every heart is open to You. You know what's going on inside every heart.
And so, Lord, we're asking you to work now. Work for your glory. Work in your own way and in your own time. But do it for your glory, Lord. Free us all to be faithful and consistent and generous and cheerful in the way we handle our finances for you. And then, Lord, would you save today?
Yeah.
Save today. Add to the kingdom.
Yeah.
For your glory.
Yes.
For the good of our own souls and the progress of the kingdom of God, we ask it. Amen.